You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
11 o'clock hour here on a Thursday. Coming up later on today, something that we only do every few Thursdays. Snitch line. I'm telling you way earlier because you need to start thinking. Snitch line, for those of you who've been with the show for a while, you know what snitch line is. If you're fairly new to the show, snitch line is something we used to do on a weekly basis. Now we do it like once a month or every couple weeks.
We like to build up the dirt.
It all started back during COVID when the NBA basically created a snitch line for people that were leaving the bubble. If you guys remember that whole thing.
I do.
Obviously, what's his name going to Magic City Wings and everything like that. Although he was on a podcast recently explaining the whole backstory to it more. I thought it was interesting, and he claims that like he didn't do what they said he did.
He was accused of doing?
Yeah, sure. Although he still admitted to leaving the bubble, but like he explained how he was out with what's-his-name and got a photo the singer that blew up all this. At the time, wasn't a big deal, and then he blew up, and it's the name's escaping me right now. But anyway, that's why we started the snitch line. It was a joke. So if you have something that you've seen in your workplace and you want to anonymously tell us what happened, something you've been maybe holding in for a while, that'll be coming up around 1:10 today, all right? You can text them in to 913-586-7965. We'll bring the snitch line back. We'll also get to the trash of the day here in 15 minutes in just a bit. All right, let's talk about the Royals a little bit. And we know what they are currently doing, which we discussed earlier, and that is the offense and playing better, three games back from a playoff spot now. But what about this rotation moving forward? So if they trade a piece or two, it changes how the next 2 years could look as well with this rotation. One thing is probably changing no matter what they do, which is Michael Lorenzen not going to be back next year.
No.
And Seth Lugo probably, I say only probably because I guess there's a chance they could get an extension done at the end of the season. But most likely, he's gone. So that's two holes in the rotation. Next year, you'll have Michael Wacha. You would have Chris Bubich, unless you move on from him. Noah Cameron. And Cole Reagan's, assuming he comes back fully healthy at some point in time for next season. I know it could happen this year, too.
Yeah.
But those are the sure things for next year. Where it gets really complicated is if you decided to not do an extension for Chris Bubich and you fast forward to 2 years from now and what the heck that rotation looks like. I don't want to go too far in front because it's baseball, because 2028 is such a long time from now, and that's way too far to plan as a fan. I know the Royals have to plan that,
sure.
But I'm not gonna.
But I'm just trying to think about it.
We might also have a lockout in 2027. So
yeah, I'm trying to think about it as it relates to the current rotation and how you set yourself up for the future, because you watched Bubich again last night and you got to ask the same questions. Hey, if we gave him an extension, right? Like hypothetically, if we gave him an extension, what does that look like in the sense that is he worth the risk? Is the injury risk worth it? All the things that comes with that? Is that, you know, like all the stuff that would have us questioning or those things outside of it. But then it's also like, you got Walker for like a year, but you know, he'll be 1 year older, and you got Reagan's for how many? You got Reagan's for some years for sure. But then you're also running into the issue where, you know, now this year he's been a little bit hurt. Do you know, like how much can you trust that? Their minor league system is not ripe with it.
Yeah.
So like, as I start playing this thing out, I am kind of leaning towards, you're going to have to figure out a way to keep Bubich for some time, or your plan better include figuring out a way to get Seth Lugo back or signing another free agent pitcher, all those things.
Yeah, it's probably another vet, Cody, or it's a Kyle Wright that actually gets back from this, but that's a dart throw, and you can't rely on that, I don't think, heading into next season. Alec Marsh is another name. So those would be the two quickest paths to filling the 4 or 5 spot in the rotation beyond 2025.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess, but like at the same time, would you give Bubic an extension right now? Like if he would just take a standard contract, hold you in? Like he'll just take
standard contract?
$15-20 million a year over 3 years, probably, is what you're looking at. Whatever. I mean,
it's not my money, so sure. In general, if it was my money, I don't know if I would do that yet.
Waka plus 5%, right? I mean, whatever the number is that you need in order to kind of make you feel comfortable with it, I guess is what I would say. Because have like an eventual rotation issue, unless there's a bunch of these guys like Kuderna or Avila, or like you're going way down the list to A-ball guys that you think are going to be available to you in the next 24 months. You're light. You don't have enough. So it's either trade young players in your system for that or go back in there now.
Yeah, I mean, Bubic turns 28 in August. All right. So, you know, and they have a year left on his current deal. And they probably this offseason have to make a decision. They're either moving on from him to bring back multiple pieces or they're getting an extension. I don't think they're going into next season with him just playing out the final year unless you're setting yourself up to trade him midseason next year, right? Like Chris Bubic doesn't have to do what he's doing this year. Let's be clear. Like this year is unbelievable. He's an all-star, 2.48 ERA. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball here in 2025. I don't think anybody is saying that's the standard he has to meet for you to be good with an extension. Not at all, right? But let's say he's 15 or 20% worse. Are you okay with that on a deal that's going to pay him what it's going to take to pay him, right?
For a rotation with no certainty, I am. I have to pay for the lack of certainty.
What's his peak for you still? Because to me, he likely still is a... Well, yeah, exactly. So I think most likely he's a very nice number 3 starter for you over the next 3 years if you extend him.
Yeah, that's probably what he is. Ones in certain years, absolutely, which is what he's doing.
That's what
right
he's doing
now.
This year. Seth Lugo has done that as well. Where Seth Lugo last year in particular pitched like an ace, right? But he's probably a number 2 or 3 starter for being realistic. Mm-hmm. Bubic, same deal. So what are you comfortable paying your number 3 starter? Really is the question. Or do you trade him when his value is high in the offseason? And you get multiple pieces back. But there's a little bit of a numbers game. Unless you're going to bring in a veteran or two next offseason that's cheaper, you got to fill out the rotation.
The only advantage they have in that department, depending on what trade they make here at the deadline, is they are still young and cheap and a lot of rookie deals in the position player department, right? So let's just say whether they got Salvador Perez for another year and they pick up the option, which we don't think that happened, or Carter Jensen is the guy that goes with it instead. We're having a slightly different conversation, right? Like they're young and cheap there. Vinny's still on his young player deal. Bobby Witt Jr. is what he is. He's expensive. Mm-hmm. But most of their players right now are homegrown and inexpensive. So if there is still a time in which you can spend some money and spend a decent amount of money.
But what are they doing on
free agent pitching? You can do it, but then also can you hit?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. They have some obvious issues offensively still. And are they trading for somebody that's got a massive contract, Brian Reynolds? Or are they trading for prospects if they trade anybody to help the offense? Because I'll just keep using the Brian Reynolds example because that was just a player they were linked to. I'm not saying they're going to actually trade him, but we know he's owed $80 million. Well, all of a sudden, if you have $80 million on the books for Brian Reynolds, does that change how you operate in the offseason? I think the answer is absolutely it has to financially change how you operate.
Yeah, but again, I don't think, I mean, I'd have to look at next year. I think they're like in the 20s next year in cap.
Sure.
And look, that number is going to be dependent and has probably moved a little bit for teams depending on what takes place, I would say. What takes place in the long run for other positions, other players, other guys they're looking to spend money on, and how good they are. They're not going to want to spend money historically, have not wanted to spend money unless they're good. I'd say John Sherman's actually been better about that. That was more of a previous ownership issue, in my opinion.
I actually think he's been very competitive in how he spent his money.
Yeah.
Since being the owner.
He's still not the Dodgers. I think he's been more competitive in spending his money. Yeah. Like, he has spent it to get competitive more than the previous regime, which waited to spend it until they were competitive, as it is. But Bobby Wood Jr.'s number eventually is going to start, you're going to start feeling it. Next year, by the way, they're 18th in Major League Baseball at $87 million.
That's not factoring in, right, Salvi's option.
It is. It is factoring in Salvi's option, okay. So they would actually have more money as it sits right now. But also, as much as I think that they're young...
And is that projecting new ARB numbers? Because there's obviously guys like Vinny's numbers going...
ARP numbers.
Okay, because I was going to say, his number is going to go up, obviously, after that season.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
He's
we
having.
Can definitely talk about him more tomorrow. He is currently on pace to have the best season of his career, and that's including the bad start he had. So, like, they're kind of an interesting spot. I just think their rotation, like, they're in a balancing act right now. They want to win now, but they have to pay attention to this year, next year, and the year after of how they're structuring rotation, unless there's a bunch of pitchers getting ready to come up who haven't been coming up.
This would be a question, probably more for the offseason for JJ, but I also wonder, how does a potential 2027 CBA issue impact how you project and what kind of money you're willing to divvy out and what kind of extensions you're willing to go and hand out in this offseason and beyond? I mean, there's a lot of people that believe in 2027, there's a real chance, at least in the offseason, of there being a lockout. The question would be, with the CBA negotiations, does that carry over to, does the season start late in 27? Do we miss half the season? Is there a full season lockout? Something that would be devastating to a sport that right now I actually think has a ton of momentum. But I would imagine as an owner in a front office, you definitely are factoring in to your plans that, hey, what happens in 2027? And do we lose a season from a guy that's young because of it?
Yeah. And that would be, God, that would suck.
Yes,
losing a year of Bobby Witt Jr. Because the last time they went through a lockout, remember, and like in the COVID year, they just said, no, we're not adding on the additional years. This year counted. Like these years count. Because oftentimes that's the one thing the players at least fight for, which is, no, I'm not taking a whole extra year in my age in order to get kind of stung. No, thanks. Because like it's not a worthy risk, at least on that end. So they don't do it. They just don't do it. Baseball. Baseball can't just get out of their own way. Even like yesterday, did you hear what Tim Kirchen had to say on his podcast about the automatic balls and strikes? Because this goes into the same thing. If you guys don't know already, the All-Star Game is going to have the ABS system, which I think is probably a precursor for baseball agreeing to allow it in the majors next year. They've been doing it in the minors for years.
It's going to happen next year.
Feels like it's probably going to come into play next year, although they haven't officially announced that. Tim Kirchen, who obviously has been covering baseball for 30 years, he says the players don't want it? Mm-hmm. This stuns me.
Well, the ones that I've talked to and others in the game feel like the players don't want the responsibility and the accountability of being in charge of a challenge on a ball or a strike because they worry, do I know the strike zone well enough in order to be in charge of a challenge? And what if I challenge in the second inning and we lose a challenge? I had a major league manager tell me this year that in spring training, he thought the overriding point was that most players realized the umpires are better than they think, meaning a hitter goes, there's no way that's a strike. And then they run the replay and it is a strike. That's my feeling, that a lot of the players look at it and not sure they're confident enough in their understanding of the strike zone to therefore be in charge of a challenge system. They want somebody else to do it for them, but the manager can't do that, and the manager shouldn't have to do that.
All right, this is such a baseball thing. And like baseball.
Really?
This is such a baseball player thing, though. Like the idea of like, you know, routine based and like, you know, need somebody to carry the bag for him kind of thing. Like, this is crazy to me. And we went to a couple minor league games this year, and one of them I went to, the ump was correct at all three challenges. And so that's exactly what Kirchen's talking about. They're like,
players, I don't want to look stupid.
Basically, they don't want to be embarrassed. You blew a challenge when it wasn't even close. That is a crazy way to operate, but I guess it makes sense I guess it makes sense why some players wouldn't like it. In general, as a fan, I would love it. Umpires also seemingly are a little skeptical, even though they are correct more often than we think.
I'll be honest. I watch enough. They are wrong sometimes.
Sometimes, but they are correct the majority of the time.
Even bad umpires are right on balls and strikes.
Like 90%.
86%. Yeah. Bad game is, I only got 80% right on the calls.
But like, I would love to talk to a player about this. True. Off the record, I would love to talk, because is this truly a fear of players that they're worried that they're going to do a challenge in the third inning and they're going to say, no, that was way off. And then the video board's going to show it and we're going to all find out it was 3 inches off the plate and be like, dude, what are you challenging it for? Is that really what they're worried about? That's crazy.
It must be. I mean, there's no other good explanation for why it is they would be concerned over it, because why, you know, like, what are you afraid of, the embarrassment? But to Drew's point, he had said this in the pre-show, and we were talking a little bit about this. Genuinely, if this is your complaint, then shut up when you think a call is outside or inside or higher, then shut up about it. You don't get to complain if you're like, well, I know the strike zone. Hey, Blue, how are you calling it that? This also goes back to my initial theory on this, is the people who should be calling for the challenges more often are the players that I think have a better sense of the zone.
They're veteran players.
Those, yeah. Look, if you're a free swinging, get on base at a 290 clip, eh, you should probably cool it a little bit on the which one you think is a ball.
Like Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny, basically. I would almost narrow it down to those three.
You're Bobby Witt Jr. You're Vinny. You got a good eye. We know you got a good eye. They have metrics for this too, by the way. You got a good understanding of the zone. When you watch, it's a ball. When you don't watch, it's a strike. You know, like, you got a good sense of the zone. Well, then great. You do. We have metrics to know when you are right in how you are viewing it. So just, and look, sometimes they're just so bad, you don't have to fear it at all. They're just so bad, just touch your helmet.
Don't you think, though, the way we hear about all these pregame meetings and conversations players have with their hitting coach and how they're going to attack a pitcher that night, won't part of that plan just be, hey, heading into the season or heading into a series, this is kind of our quote-unquote plan of challenges? Or maybe they don't even maybe they want to simplify it as much as possible. It's like, hey, you each have a challenge. We're not going to really do what you got to do. Like, we trust you to know the strike zone and you do your thing. But if you're worrying about embarrassment and they want the somebody else to handle it for them, that is just a baseball player being a baseball player problem. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's a weird, like, again, you're just not allowed to complain about the system if you're like, but I want my boss to do it. I do want to challenge him, but I don't want to do it. Like, what do you mean you don't want to do it? You're the guy hitting. You have to be the one. You want the manager? Like, imagine the manager challenging a ball and strike.
And the manager's not even allowed to do that, by the way.
No, but he shouldn't anyway. Because I've sat in the best seats in the building.
Humble brag right there, yeah.
And I can't tell
if... How about that? He just slid that in.
I wouldn't trust me to call a ball and a strike from that distance. You want the manager from the dugout? Do you know how many times you got to sit next to some guy sitting in the stands going, boo, that was high, Blue, boo, and it was like down the middle of the plate? Come on, man, you can't be having a guy sitting in the
When you're off to the side, especially, it makes it hard. If you're right behind the plate, like, you're that's where, like, Tim Kirchin making that point of, hey, you know, they don't know the strike zone enough. Well, all of a sudden, maybe this turns into a, if you feel like you should be able to, if you think that you want to take on that challenge of challenging a strike or a ball, then you need to learn the zone a little bit or just adjust to it. And do you think
honing your skill?
I know that we had mentioned this before. Does this play into an advantage for Salvi or Cal Raleigh or other catchers who are behind the plate? They know more about it now and everything like that. Is that something where if you're a catcher, this is something that maybe plays into your hands a little bit of you know the zone because you're the one catching the ball behind the plate. You can get a better feel for it on a more consistent basis than if you're just a player out in left field or something like that.
In the All-Star game, when they do it, you know, next week, it's going to be funny because guys are going to, like, it's going to be more of a joking type of setup than it will be next year when it's fully implemented.
Yeah. There's going to be some, and they'll be laughing.
Someone that, like, now it's the All-Star game. So I don't know how many times guys are striking out looking anyway. People are up there to swing the bat.
I hope so.
So, you know, I don't know how often we'll see the strike zone challenges. It might be something somebody does funny, like on the first pitch down the middle and somebody tries to challenge it as a joke. I could see somebody with a personality that does that. Anyway, all right, let's get to the trash of the day. There's a new study out from the Ohio State University, Drew.
I don't subscribe to having to call him that. I just make it very clear. I like to go the opposite just because it makes him so mad.
I just do it because it annoys you.
All caps.
And I do it to annoy them, so it actually works out great for everybody.
A new study out from Ohio State University says 9% of workers in their 30s are using alcohol or drugs on the job.
Oh. I mean, we do have a thing called Fan Club that we drink at.
That's right.
The
study's lead author says it's mainly true in, quote, blue-collar or heavy mechanical jobs.
That's a concern.
It said specifically the study found the jobs with the highest risk of workers drinking or drugging on the job are in, quote, food preparation service industry, and in safety-sensitive occupations, including construction.
Oh, no.
Now, yes, we do drink on the job on a Friday at 1 o'clock on a little fan club Friday.
It's sanctioned.
It is sanctioned.
I think.
Well, it's sponsored now, too.
It's sponsored, so it's definitely sanctioned.
Shout out to Circus Sports in Vegas. We'll be out there in August. There are Survivor contests and,
I'm out.
And contest weekend and everything. Make sure to join us in Vegas. They are sponsoring Fan Club this summer. But so we contribute to this. Are you surprised 9% of workers? I'll be honest, not to stereotype, but like service industry. Are you worked in the service industry. You told us stories about restaurant workers and stuff. Are you surprised to hear people are drinking on the job?
No, I'd be surprised to find out that restaurant work wasn't 90%. The highest amount I was drinking on a regular basis at any point in my life was absolutely when I was working in restaurants. More than when I was a teenager, more than when I was in college. Now I was in college.
I would hope more than when you were a teenager.
I drank. That might have been the second highest.
Construction
ages
workers,
like 16 to 19 might have been the second highest drinking other than when I was working in restaurants.
I mean, a construction site, I mean, there's just, you know what? OSHA, who cares?
Somebody
drink
says,
up.
I don't want a sober, well-mannered line cook. Like, they don't. Honestly, man, it's tough work. It's really tough work. I absolutely, like, it. Restaurant work is not surprising. Construction work, I feel like there's some, like, maybe you shouldn't be operating a drill press. Maybe you shouldn't be, like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't be doing that and drinking.
No, I think OSHA encourages it, actually. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think that passes?
You're not
the test?
Doing the job correctly if you're not.
Like, I don't know, man. That feels like a tough one.
Somebody on the text line is suggesting, Cody, that there's, you know, I don't know if you witnessed this, but more than just alcohol that goes into the
restaurant. Well, the study says alcohol or drugs.
I mean, is there, drugs. I don't know if you witnessed anything like that, but the restaurant suggestion.
There's a, look,
somebody's
in my time
a little
working
too much,
in
you
restaurants,
know?
My experiences, the people who work in restaurants, enjoy drugs and alcohol. Yes. Yes. But also, I would say that that's a stereotype of people who work in radio.
Yeah.
If they drug tested everybody in this building today who is on air in radio, I think we'd have a below 50% pass rate.
I'll say this is the reason why we do not,
so?
By the way, and
we do not condone
other than one radio,
alcohol or drugs.
Other than one radio job, none of them have drug tested. My second radio job I ever had, they drug tested. But that's because at the time, the company that owned the radio station also owned a different business. And so, like, they
just their whole
the whole
business.
Company did it. Even but in radio, yeah, drug test doesn't exist.
I've had to do one drug test. Maybe two.
I had to do one when I was on probation in high school. That was about it.
Oh, yeah. When was the last time you had to pee in a cup?
It was only that time.
That's it.
High school. That one time. Well, I mean, not that
my
way,
first job at
high school
my
sports,
second,
whatever they make you, but
yeah, my yeah. second job, like as a kid, at Best Buy, I had a drug test for the Best Buy gig.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I want to say that's surprising, but when I was in like high school and I got a job in high school, I worked at a golf course, and Lord knows I was totally
fine.
I'd
be surprised if they drug
tested. They did not drug
tested
me
seem
for
like
that
crowd. From the 816, I'm a contractor, I have a Bud Light at 3, and I'm OSHA certified. So they're saying, this could have borderline been the cinch line. Keep these in mind for the cinch line coming up at 1 o'clock. They definitely feel related.
That's the trash of the day. With. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. You got to hear what Matt Nagy was saying with both the Kelseys on their podcast. It has to do with Chris Jones.
Welcome in to the... You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold.
Brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
The video stream is up, but you do not see Cody and I right now. Our cameras, maybe a power surge or something overnight, so we're working on that. But Drew's camera
charging him back up.
Is up and running, so you can stare at Drew and listen to the show.
Yeah, you guys get to enjoy my face.
He now is also rocking the Whittison's gear. No wig, but he's got the glasses, he's got the crown, so you can just stare and watch Drew the
whole time. We didn't want him to not still be representing the Whittisons, which we have been doing all week.
That's right.
So we made him put on the crown and the sunglasses. They're kind of dark, aren't they?
Yes, it is certainly an adjustment.
I was like, I feel like I'm really having to squint at my computer and I'm like, if you could see my eyes during the time, I'm just like trying to look through to read the stuff we have in the rundown. The video stream is still up. Like you said, you can still subscribe, watch over on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. But yeah, we believe they lost a little juice.
We'll try power
to get
surge.
Powered back up.
Something.
So that we can get ourselves all squared away. I think they just need to charge, if we're being honest.
So we'll see how that goes. We'll let you guys know. But the stream is up and running still. So that is the good thing. All right, let's talk some Chiefs football. So we know New Heights, Kelsey's podcast. They have different guests. Sometimes they have teammates on. They've had Trey Smith on recently. They had Matt Nagy, Chiefs offensive coordinator, on. And they talked about a variety of things. But the clip that really stood out to us was talking about trick plays, right? Like we've seen in the past, Dontari Poe has had the pass, the jump pass that worked. It sounds like at one point in time, I don't know how recent this was, at one point in time, they were working in a play for Chris Jones. Listen to this.
You know, Kels, we put that one play in for Chris Jones that we had him doing a little bit of a pass. And he just
yeah! No, Jason, you have no idea. It was bad. Dude, Chris, I love Chris Jones to death, dog. I don't know what it was, but yeah, he needs to stay on the defensive side.
Yeah, it just we put it in for him and we had him doing a little throw and it just, I mean, usually coach we put it in the incubator like with Dontari Poe. And
oh, yeah.
With the jump pass.
Just let that thing simmer, baby.
You wash it for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, this one was called Swinging D, and it wasn't working, man. That play wasn't working.
Swinging D? Are you kidding me? That is amazing.
It had the name.
Oh, my gosh.
It had the reference. It
didn't work.
We ran it. And it was a throw to me. Every single throw was like 5 yards behind me at my feet. I'm just like, coach, I don't think this is going to work.
Unbelievable and amazing. Jones at camp,
okay,
we're going to have to talk about this. But the name for Chris Jones trick play? Swinging D, that is unbelievable.
I think it's funny the fact that as Matt Nagy was explaining it, he goes, yeah, the play was swinging D, and it didn't really, he just kept on going. Like, there was no pause. He just acted like there was nothing
Jason
wrong with
caught
that
it. Jason was like, what?
Oh, yeah. Hang on
Did
a second.
You call it? That's the name
That's
you went
so
with?
So good. So good. It sounds like Chris Jones can't throw a football, though, very well.
You know, too bad for him, because the Dontari Poe one worked. Look, Travis is kind of banned from doing it. Travis had two passes, and they both have gone horribly. He's just sticking to laterals now. His chance to get the passes are, I'm going to throw it across the field to Kadarius Toney. That one went bad, but not because of him. Mm-hmm. Not his fault. But every time he gets in the, and he's talked about it before, like the pick he threw against the Giants, he's like, I only had one read. It was 10 feet from where I had one read, and I still was like, I'm going to chuck it downfield because he's open. So, like, same thing applies. This play didn't work. But this is also what I love kind of about Andy Reid. If you work in the Chiefs organization, I don't care if you're the janitor or you're a player. If you got an idea for a play, they'll give it a test run. They'll try it out, man. They'll name a play swinging D and give you a chance.
I mean, the name is
they'll
just
give you a chance the to see if it
name
works.
Is didn't Chris Jones name it that?
No, I think they did. But they, like, obviously, this is hilarious. But honestly, like a real take that I have from this, like, that matters for the team. I think this is why people love Andy Reid. I think this is why, you know, the camp can be as tough as any in football, but he knows how to still, no matter how old he is and how many years he's coached, he can adapt and relate to the 20-year-old player now or the 20-year-old player 15 years ago, right? Like, or the 40, you know, the 33-year-old vet now. Like, he's great with that and can, knows how to have some fun. You're grinding at camp. It's brutal. It's hot. You want to get out. Nobody wants to be there by day five. And he knows how to break in some fun stuff as well. And I honestly think this would be an example of that. Now, I don't know how long ago they had the swinging D play in there.
He said 2 weeks.
No, I mean, like, was this 5 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Matt Nagy obviously was the OC back then too. So I don't know if this was the first go around or this was last year. We don't know the answer to that, but I honestly think it matters. They know how to kind of mix it up a little bit. Well, at least Andy Reid has done that throughout his tenure. You're right. They allow input. Andy has talked about it openly, how some of the trick plays, it's guys, you know, messing around at practice before practice doing something. And they say, you know what, maybe that could work.
The behind the back pass stuff has always been born in the he's having fun, or the left-handed pass stuff has always been in the he's having fun and he's goofing around, or Patrick's goofing around. Like, I do think there's a part of, if you're going to make people go up to St. Joe and cook for a month at training camp, you better figure out a way for these guys to have some fun too. And if fun is, we sit in a meeting room and be like, fellas, for the next 2 weeks, we'll be practicing a play in which Chris Jones gets the snaps and throws it to Travis Kelce. Just for reference, while we're practicing, that play will be called Swing in D, and the whole
place
room.
Must have been.
They lost it.
Can you imagine?
Bet they lost it.
Let's say the play actually is really good and it worked. Can you imagine Patrick Williams, hey, Blue Lady, hey, Swing in D, Swing in D.
Well, they probably wouldn't say the play like that.
But
probably wouldn't say the play out loud like that. In the huddle, they would.
They're
going to audible to it.
But Andy would have had to go to the post-game press conference, because I was at the post, you know, like, you stand there and they're like, hey, Andy, what's the name of the play in Dontari Poe? And everyone's like, oh my God, it's called Hungry Pig, right? What a name.
See, I think what would have happened in that scenario.
You think they changed it to not Swing
and
D?
I don't believe Andy would have said, I can't tell you that name. You have to ask the guys. And then somebody on the team, one of the players, would have said it. I think it would be one of those where it would. Andy,
not a clip of Andy saying Swing and D.
I don't think Andy would have said, yeah, we called it Swing and D.
I don't think he would say it either.
And then, because you know what it is?
I think it would have had been a player that was asked about, like, can you tell us the name of the play? And everybody just starts laughing and nobody could figure out why.
This is where I'm a little bummed out is. Immediately, some of the reporters would have gotten it. But my hope would be that they were laughing and then there's just like one guy from the small paper, like some poor 23-year-old from the Topeka Capital.
Why'd you call it Swing and D, Coach?
And he's like, Coach, but why is it called that? And you're like, oh my God.
Go watch the combine.
Oh, no.
Go watch the combine from a couple years ago, please. And then you'll know what we mean.
No. That would have just been, it would have been a priceless moment, and I'm sad that we're robbed of that because Chris Jones can't throw a football.
If we have Chris Jones on the show during camp, we didn't have him last year. If they grant us our interview request with Chris Jones while we're up in St. Joe, obviously we're asking about the play.
Even if you just see him in passing with like the snow cones, you have to be like, hey man, you guys trying to run Swing and D this year? And just see the look on his face. You even if you guys see him in passing. You got to ask.
Yeah, I'll make sure Cody yells that as there's a bunch of kids in front of us.
I think it has to. It's a lot funnier if it's you, Cody, for whatever reason. I think it would be hilarious.
You do?
I think it would be funny. I think it's the concept of you willingly going out of your way to just mention it to Chris Jones in front of kids and everything like that would be...
Text line is having fun with it. Text line wants to know, was the pass a 5-yard pass or a 10-yard pass? Good Lord. Good Lord.
I mean, just...
He couldn't throw a pass, it sounded like.
They had to nix it, unfortunately, due to the fact that there just wasn't...
Drew, you look ridiculous over that. I'm looking over there.
Is this how we look?
Yes. Someone says he looks like a teenager, even more with that on.
The thing that's funnier is that let's say the cameras were good and everything was smooth, and you guys were wearing this. We're talking about a play called Swing and D looking like this. Like, well, come on, man. It's objectively ridiculous.
I do still think we should have invested in a scepter. I think we missed out on an opportunity for like a big blingy scepter. So for somebody's coming out,
you wouldn't have wanted to hold that the whole show, though.
No, but if somebody's coming out on Sunday, let me know. We need to work on a craft project.
You also get like some sort of, not a cape, but one of the a robe or something along those lines.
Something looks like.
I'll let Cody wear that one in the 95 degree weather if he wants on Sunday. You can have the robe, man. It's all you. It's all you, man. That's all you.
The red belt, but it's got to be blue, right? It needs to be blue with a fur lined collar.
Yes.
I mean, if somebody's got one, I'll put it on. But that's for the Whittison event. If we haven't told you enough, 10:30 on Sunday will be when that starts off. There'll be free Bobby Wood Jr. haircuts. Even if you're not going to the game, we'll be right outside gate B for Bobby. And then you'll have a chance to enter our Bobby Wood Jr. lookalike contest where you can sit in the crown seats with me and Alex for the game that day. You and a guest is the plan.
we have the most creative text line.
Someone says a 6-yard pass is considered average.
The balance was off. Somebody else suggested. That's why you couldn't throw. Come on, Chris.
Man, we could have had this play, man. I'm disappointed in you. Someone should have worked on your throws.
Someone said I look like Lord Farquaad from Shrek.
Oh, for Shrek. Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
There's a gnat in here. Oh.
And we just don't. We didn't even make him put the wig on, which is what makes
thankfully. Actually, the wig would have made it look more like Lord Farquaad, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Not my gumdrop buttons.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Not the gumdrop button.
Chris Jones is an interesting player because he was in the same spot Trey Smith is in 2 years ago. 2 years ago, this show was kind of optimistic. They would get the long-term deal done with Chris Jones before the trade or the tag deadline hit. Tag deadline is now 5 days away for Trey Smith. He has now officially said something about it when being asked on Up and Adams by Kay Adams today. This is what Trey Smith had to say about the pending tag deadline that is next Tuesday.
You got tagged this offseason. I want to talk a little business. Highest paid guard in NFL history. July 15th is here. Okay. Yeah. Long-term deal. What's the latest from Beach?
I leave it to the hands of my agents and, you know, obviously the front office staff of the Chiefs are elite. And, you know, at the end of the day, I just let them take care of it. I just have to focus on being the best version of myself, being the best football player and being prepared for training camp. Cause St. Joe's around the corner. That's going to be, we don't want to talk about that right now.
Yeah, you can tell how the players feel about training camp and what they're about to experience in St. Joe. It is going to be a little toasty and some grueling practices. And what's crazy is the practices now, these players have it way easier than the guys 20 years ago did when there was not actually limitations on practice times and you could do two-a-days and things like that. That's what's crazy. It used to be way worse, and it's still a grind. But as far as the contract stuff, like, he said the right things, what you would expect him to say. He's a pro. Hey, my agent's doing that thing. I'm not too worried. All the stuff you would typically hear from a player that wants to sign the deal, wants to be still where they're at and doesn't feel, you know, concerned about the process, at least publicly. But yeah, Tuesday's the deadline. I think, 3:00 our time or something like that. I'm not sure the exact time.
So it won't be during our exact show, but we ideally we'll hear something like you said by the end of the weekend. Because right now I'm not panicked because he doesn't seem panicked and he's not saying, I hope that they'll understand my value or my worth. Because this is also the difference we talked about with functional organizations and dysfunctional organizations. The Chiefs kind of felt a little more dysfunctional when Chris Jones is sitting between his two agents and missing a bunch of time and everything kind of felt out of whack for a little bit. We joke about Trey Hendrickson and some of the other stuff where these guys are Shamar Stewart in Cincinnati, where it feels like they're just letting these guys talk and say things that you don't want them to say. Trey Smith is just saying front office is one of the best in the business. I let them handle it. I do feel very confident this deal is still going to get done. But there is a part of me, man, that is still very worried about the what happens if they don't, because we've discussed those on this show. And it throws sure. so many parts of the plan off kilter if they don't. It causes problems if they don't. And that's really where I start to kind of get stuck into the, like, what happens if category. But I'm still, that answer doesn't give me any more or less confidence.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot there.
That feels like the answer you gave 6 months ago.
Yeah, it's a standard answer about the process of the contract and everything. I don't know if it gets done this weekend. I just think you might start hearing a little bit more about it, you know, about either if the Chiefs are confident still, or the sides are close, or they're still, you know, a disagreement on the amount of years or whatever. But I mean, if we're sitting here Tuesday and it's noon on Tuesday and you're hours from the deadline, and there's not that's when it gets a little nerve wracking. I still think it gets done overall, but something that we're going to keep on watching. As a reminder, they have to get a long-term deal done by that deadline. Otherwise, yeah, he can play this year on the team and be the highest paid guard in football and all that. But then we're doing this whole thing in the offseason again.
Yeah. And then you're like, well, we got 1 week to negotiate where everyone else can. Mm-hmm. Can we get a deal done?
And it delays, as you said, you know, Trent McDuffie, if you want to try to get something done with him before the start of the season, you really can't if you don't get something done, most likely with Trey Smith. And there by then, maybe Ahmad Sauce Gardner has a deal done. So the price goes up on Trent McDuffie. It can change.
Some other guard might get paid in the offseason or in the middle of the season, and it might change your number on Trey. It's just, for all the reasons we joke about the teams like the Dallas Cowboys who wait forever, they should have paid Micah Parsons a year ago when the number was semi-ish reasonable.
That's the Cowboys being the Cowboys, man. They did this with Dak. They did this with CeeDee
Lamb.
And they
always have to overpay because of that.
Mm-hmm.
They always pay top dollar, top of mark, highest conceivable. And you're like, why do you do this to yourself every time? Do you want to be ahead of it one singular time?
You think I'm an idiot? Do you?
Think I'm an idiot? Jerry. Honestly, his drops are about as good as anybody. Although you gave us a pretty good one today, Gold.
Did I?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, you said this.
Sunday, I'm going to shave the cheeks and everything else. It's true. I'm going to shave everything but the goatee and the stash for Bobby Witt lookalike contest that we're judging.
Good luck.
Yep.
But how do you think it's going to look?
I don't know. I've never only had the goatee and mustache, ever.
Not even when in the mirror, like we said?
Oh, yeah. I've done that.
What did it look like?
I look like a completely different person.
It didn't even look like you.
No.
You felt like you didn't look like
I felt like a different person.
Oh, weird. It's like,
but I don't know if it'll be long enough on something. I mean, like, we got a couple more days of this, so we're in good shape. I think it's growing the way it needs to grow for that.
You grow a beard pretty quick.
Yeah.
You only need about a week.
Yeah. I'll shave Sunday morning for that before we go to the K, and you'll see. And then I'll leave it for Monday's show if you want, and then it's gone forever. Forever, forever.
Can we have 1 week? One week of a mustache?
No.
Alex Gold, 1 week mustache? Change his whole energy.
We can talk on Monday, but no. It's a completely different vibe and look.
What if the Royals, will you just like not shave it until they lose? Like at least
starting,
till Monday.
Starting today?
Well, that's...
They're off today.
You realize what I'm doing here, right?
Yes.
The
yes,
All-Star
yes,
game yes, is on Monday.
Yes,
so
yes.
So you, just as long as they won this weekend, I'd be okay. Mm.
I'm just asking if you're saying, like, do I agree if they don't lose it all to the Mets to keep it for a week?
Yeah.
Mm. I will agree
that's
to
not
that.
Bad.
I'll agree Ooh. To that. If the Royals sweep the Mets...
You'll wait till at least the Friday?
I'll wait till the Friday
the
show.
The biggest Royals fans we've ever been, just
yes.
for this reason right now, yes.
Gold with a mustache for a whole week, and that thing's going to get... Thick, two
I think
weeks?
It'd be like George Costanza in Seinfeld when he had just the mustache, you know, and he was like, I look like an out of work porn star.
I don't know what's worse.
That's what Gold's going to
get. I don't know
off.
What's worse, if I left just the stash or if I had the whole goatee. I mean, that's with the little patch.
What would be worse?
Yeah, just the stash, right?
I think just the stash.
Just
yes.
the stash.
I think stash, yes. It depends on the person. I think if the stash doesn't look right, you start to kind of look like a creep. I'm saying some people pull off a stash well, and I think it looks okay. I just think it depends on the person and your features. It's not even necessarily about the thickness of the stash. It's more just like,
yeah, some people look better with the certain facial hair for sure.
Yeah. So
the stash is not as popular as it was.
I don't think
it
would look good on you. I think a mustache would not be a particular.
Yeah, I'm no Tom Selleck.
Okay.
I totally am with you.
But you grow a pretty thick beard.
Yeah.
What's the longest you've ever let it go?
Well, when we did the show two years ago. Was it two or three years ago? Where I kept it for most of the winter. Yeah. For like 2 months.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I actually got it, and I got it trimmed. And yeah, I did. Yeah, I was right. There was a stretch where they had just lost to, was it the Colts or something?
And they were below 500. And, they were
like,
three and four.
And I was like, I'll keep this as long as they keep winning or something like that. Like, yeah, until they lose again, and they didn't lose the rest of the season or something
they
like that.
They won the Super Bowl. I think
I didn't wear it. I know I didn't have a beard at the Super Bowl, though. I know I didn't. I think I shaved it right before the playoffs started or something, but
maybe
I kept it through the regular season.
That was the
season.
Year they lost to Cincy in the AFC title game. They didn't lose another regular season.
I know I
game.
Never so went to the Super Bowl with the beard. I never was doing it at the Super Bowl with the beard.
If you did like the handlebar, I think you'd have to show up in like a leather biker jacket, 100%. You'd have to get like a Harley Davidson leather jacket.
I mean, the motorcycle may not be bad these days. Yesterday, I get in my car, and all of a sudden, I'm like, why am I sweating my ass off? And the AC was blowing air, but I wouldn't say it was like hot air, but it was not cold air. Let's put it that way. And all of a sudden, so Saturday, I think I got to take it into the shop. I have an appointment or whatever to take it into the shop, but it's definitely not working. I guess, look, it's a 2013, man. I'm surprised it lasted this long. I don't I need a whole new AC motor, but...
What's the number of car repair before you are just in the new car game?
Anything over probably $2,000 and I'm out.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it's a 2013.
Anything over $2,000,
it's got three. It's, how many? 250,000.
No, not 250. No,
230?
I would love to get to 250. No, 228, almost a 230.
Okay,
That's impressive amount of miles.
The Mazda has been a great car.
That's his only car his entire life.
Yeah, you know that.
That's a
I didn't have a car in high school or college, so it's the first car I bought after I got my first job post college, and I bought the car. It's been a great car. Shout out to Mazda. But yeah, look. I think if any repair over $2,000, I'd be like, all right, it's time. This is not going to cost
$2,000.
If the
repair covers more than the car is valued at is where I start running.
Someone says get a new car with the Caitlin Clark money. We have talked about that.
I suggest you buy a house, not a car.
I'm just saying, it figures. This is how everybody can relate to this. Like, everybody can relate to this. There's always something, right? Like, just when you think you're like in a, there's always something that comes up, whether you're a homeowner or whatever. This is the perfect example. You're right. The Caitlin Clark card is going for auction tomorrow night. It's going to be up in auction for a month. And I don't know, maybe it sells for $3,000. Maybe it sells for $10,000. But this is a perfect example. Of course, the AC is going out on the car. Of course,
life's kind of life.
Anyway, we'll get to what's trending coming up next. We'll also talk a little bit more about where the Royals are at right now after a sweep against the Pirates.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries. and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.